Muhammad Nabina.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I welcome you to another edition of Radio Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 10th May 2025, corresponding to the 12th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1446 AH. It is the 11th month of the Islamic Hijra calendar, and we have Muslims preparing for pilgrimage in the Holy Land in Mecca, while the rest, who probably will not be embarking on the pilgrimage, the Hajj, will be preparing for Eid al-Adha, that is the festival where Muslims slaughter sacrificial animals to worship their Lord. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till then and beyond. Allahumma ameen. On Everyday Muslim Show, we try as much as possible to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Today, inshallah, we will be taking a look at something very, very important. But then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the glorious Quran, Quran chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf, Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَهُمْ هُدًى. Verily, the way youth, آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ, who believed in their Lord, وَزِدْنَهُمْ هُدًى, and we increased them in guidance. Today, inshallah, we shall be taking a look at the role of the youth in Islamic community development, the role of the youth in Islamic community development. And our guest today is Dr. Sulaiman Ogumoyo. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alright, for those of our listeners who probably might be meeting Dr. Sulaiman Ogumoyo for the first time, Dr. Ogumoyo Sulaiman Olagoke is the director and head of the Education Quality Assurance Services Unit of the Lagos State Ministry of Basic and Secondary Education. He has more than 25 years of experience as a licensed counselor and is a fellow of the Institute of Islamic Finance Professionals, IIFP, and the chairman of Board of Incorporated Trustees of First Class Muslim Foundation. Dr. Ogumoyo, welcome again to Everyday Muslim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
All right. So it's a pleasure to have you here as always. And now, for those who are listening, this program is actually streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, via the WFM YouTube page. At the same time, later in the program, we would be opening our phone lines for you to call in and also probably to send in your messages. At the same time, you can also drop your comments on the live feeds on YouTube via WFM you know, YouTube page on, you know, on YouTube. All right. So, like I said earlier, we are looking at the role of youth in Islamic community development. So to begin with, if you look at the Islamic community today, it is actually plagued with a myriad of challenges, such that, you know, the future, as far as I'm concerned, looks bleak and uncertain. So, let me probably begin this way. What exactly are we doing about it today? And if not the youth, then who will shape the future of the Islamic Ummah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Again, I want to thank the organizers for bringing me on, and I am very passionate about this particular topic that we are looking at. I'm going to start not from the perspective of the Ummah, but perspective of the world. I want to agree with you completely that the world is on a brink of doom. And the youths are the ones that are putting it there, and they are also the ones that can actually rescue it. The youths are everywhere, and the youths are the ones who have that power, who have that vigor to be able to change things in the community. The youth are the future leaders, like it has been said always. And if you look at where we have the youths in the past, it is the youths of yesterdays that are controlling today, and it is the youths of today that are going to control tomorrow. So my great concern is what is going to happen to the future of the world and the future of every community. Starting from the family, we realize that there are homes where we have great names before now. Because the youths in those families were not taken care of, the families are nowhere to be found now.
Wow.
So if we are not careful too, it can happen to us. So coming now to the Muslim Ummah, if not to youth, then who is going to do it? And my guess, just as yours is good, is that no one will be able to do it, because we all rely on these youth to be able to improve whatever that we have. So we don't have any other option but to focus on the youth, so that they can bring about the reshape the Ummah and bring about the best for us.
All right. Now, reflecting on the life of young companions, we know quite well a lot of them, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have a lot of them, they were actually youth. They took up leadership positions and they made a lot of sacrifices for Islam. We have people like Musa ibn Umair, we have Mu'adh ibn Jabal, you have Usama ibn Zayd, and many of them like that. Now, so if you compare them with the youth of today, can we say that the youth of today are actually walking in their footsteps? Well, they're probably just, you know, watching from a distance, really not following the footsteps of, you know, pious predecessors, those who really... even if you look at the history of the world, you talk about people like Alexander the Great, and you look at the number of territories that he conquered, and to reminisce on the fact that probably he even died before the age of 40. And you're like, so what then exactly are the youth of today doing, really? Because I feel like this is a big challenge for today's youth.
Yes, so the youths of today are actually watching from a distance. They are not sure whether they need to take up the mantle of leadership. And I don't want to refer to different things that happened in the past in this country. We will see that the youths are not actually getting involved. And we need to really inspire them. As far as Islam is concerned, it is the youth that, you know, brought Islam to this height that we have found it. A couple of youths that were around the Prophet were the ones that, you know, gave us the victories. You mentioned a couple of them. Musa bin Umair was a youth before he was made a governor. Usama bin Zayd was one who led many battles, even where we have those who were older than his father. So there was this enabling environment created for the youth of those days to come into leadership. The Prophet brought them because he realized that they are the ones who are going to be the future. We usually refer to the son of Umar, Ibn Umar, the Prophet Abdullah ibn Umar, that the Prophet Sallam, you know, made him to sit with the elders because he knows that whether we like it or not, the elderly ones will go and it is the youths that we take over. So right now, we need to ensure that our youths are studying the lives of these companions. They should be their role models. I get marveled when I listen to Muslim youths and they choose role model from those that you it will amaze you that how can you choose this kind of a person as your role model?
Celebrities.
So, but we need to relive the life of these companions that we have mentioned here, a lot of them. We have to ensure that they understand what they did and how they go about it. In fact, most of the prophets of Allah were also youths. If you look at Prophet Yusuf, you look at Prophet Jonah, I mean, all these ones were very young when they started the work of Allah.
And
I think that every youth that we have today should be able to look at these models and see how they can impact the world.
All right. Now, because if I would jump some questions and I want to probably talk about this particular one, because as much as we'll say, probably some of these youth are really not, probably they are watching from a distance. Don't you think that we also have a level of culpability from the elderly ones within the society who probably have failed to give them a chance, who have failed to include them in, you know, the developmental processes of the society? Because I'm trying to look at it that if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can, you know, involve these youths, imagine sending Musa Ibn Umair as an ambassador, of the first ambassador of Islam for that matter, to Yathrib, and he prepared the ground for the migration of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Medina. And you now have leaders of today who probably feel like it's not yet your turn, go and wait for your turn. So we have, you know, leaders, so-called even youth leaders of political parties who are in their 60s, and they are the youth leaders of political parties. And like, what exactly is going on? So can we even truly claim that we are following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if we ignore this development and inclusion of our youth just the same way he empowered them over 14 centuries ago?
Okay, so people of 60 years of age claiming they are youths, I think that is quite far from the reality. Even though the national constitution allows that if you are still 40, you are still a youth. Even at that, there is nowhere in the world or in history where the youth will have the field free of charge. We have to make effort. Even during the time of the Prophet, there were those who were complaining that why should the Prophet appoint Usama to lead the battle. So the Prophet constituted that army and later died. So when Abu Bakr came, they went to him and said, change this boy.
He's a boy.
Put another person there. And he said, why should I use my hand to change what the Prophet has already? So there will always be this resistance at every point in time. But you see, the youth must create that ability for people to have confidence in them. Musa ibn Umair was given an opportunity during the time of the Prophet and he utilized it in a very brilliant way.
Yes.
There are so many youths in this country who have been given opportunity but they misused it. There are times they are giving women opportunity that they misused it. So, and I don't want to mention names.
So
but
look
we
at
know the issues are quite there. Now for the youths of today, we have to demonstrate that we have the capacity and we have that trust that can be reposed on us to carry these challenges. And we don't have to start looking for the national powers. Let us start from
even our local
area. Let's start from our organizations. There are a lot of youth organizations where we have a lot of crisis.
Absolutely.
We are even unable to manage ourselves, in our own organization. Not to talk of now handling this. So the youths will also become so responsible. If you are of age, rather than going out with women going to parties, try to be responsible. This is the way people will see you and say, he's a youth, but he's responsible. But you are a youth, the kind of haircut you have, the kind of way you dress, the kind of things you do,
it doesn't show
that people can have confidence in you. So the youth needs to sit down, look back, and see what they need to do to convince the elderly ones that truly, yes, we can hand over to you.
Okay, that's good. All right, so one way that you have bailed out the elderly ones in that regard. But then, because I'm still very much interested in, are there barriers actually, preventing these youth from taking leadership roles, whether it's in the religious organizations, whether it's in the society, local society, communities, state level, regional level, are we in national conversations, and how exactly can we remove some of those barriers? Because trying to imagine, because just like you said, that they also need to actually display that level of responsibility so that people can actually repose their trust in them. I'm trying to imagine that even at the level of, Nance, and we still having leadership crisis every time there is a convention, that would always be shooting, there will always be factions, different people laying claims to the leadership. If that is happening at the level of, the youth organizations, what then would happen by the time probably they get to, higher positions, or when they even get older? Yeah, I can excuse, that then. And that's why, that is what is forcing me to ask specifically, are there barriers limiting them or preventing them from taking leadership positions? And if such barriers truly exist, how can we remove those barriers for the youth?
Interesting. We just have the same reflection of what we have among the elders is what is happening among the youth.
Yes.
But I want to say that a lot of youths who could have changed things are not coming out because they don't have that confidence.
Okay.
Once you have been battered so much that you look at yourself and you feel that I cannot do it. So a lot of youth are battling with lack of confidence in what they can do, and that follows with self-doubt. Now we also have limited resources. I listened to at a point in time, I think Reverend Desmond Tutu had an academy in South Africa where they train youths. I was opportune to see some clips, and seriously, I think those are the kind of things that we need, that can build leaders, instill that confidence in them. So it was building leaders for Africa at that time. Now, we don't have such, but I want to say that Lagos State Government is trying, not because I'm a civil servant, but I know we have the Jakonde, Leadership Academy, where youths have been trained. Recently, there was an advert that officers who are between level maybe 12 and 14 can come for accelerated grading. They go through some training. Those are the kind of training that we need that can give the youth the confidence that, yes, we can do it. So one thing that is also very important is mentorship. A lot of youths are choosing wrong mentors, and that is making them not to be able to achieve differently from what the elders are doing. So you can imagine if somebody says in the political setting that I have a leader, I have a mentor, and your mentor is doing this bad thing or that bad thing, swindling money and things like that. I'm not saying they do that, but that is what the youth is going to follow. Now, we need to have organized mentorship program, particularly those elders who are in the corporate world, who are also in politics but have actually differentiated themselves from others, should pick these youths and mentor them so that they can have the confidence and remove the self-doubts in them. And we should give them different kinds of opportunities to start, from welfare secretary of organizations to
secretary.
Little things
like that.
And the youths, you also, they won't know you if you are not there. We have to volunteer a lot, do a lot of volunteerism so that people can see you and say, no, this guy should be able to do it. Now, coming to the Muslim Ummah, we need to do a lot. There are so many masjid, and we can't continue to have the old people in charge of this masjid. The masjid will continue to be the way they are. We need to start to involve the youth in the management of our masjid, in the management of our Muslim organizations, so that from there they can get the confidence, understand their competencies. I want to thank, when I was president of Muslim Student Society, I became president of the Muslim Society at a very young age, for the state. I was president for Lagos State, and I was just 23 at that time. And I've been challenging those who are in that organization that produce an emir for the state that will be younger than me. And that has become a bit difficult. And this training, we have to take it to them in their schools.
Wow. Trying to imagine being a president. I'm just trying to imagine that. Well, we had the so-called Not Too Young to Run, and eventually, I don't know where that has ended, actually, because I know quite well that a lot of times, these things are just by mere policy pronouncements. They are not things that we actually decide to, you know, implement. And the sincerity and the political will to really do some of these things are not there. And even for some of this, myself, because I know quite well from my own experience, I have been involved in leadership of even my local mosque. It had to take the infighting among the elders to actually give opportunity for us as youths to eventually come in. And even at a point, some of them started challenging us. Where were you when we did this? This is our own. This is, you know, some of them have turned into probably their own private estate, and they feel like we just control anything. And if you dare ask questions, they're like, okay, how much are you contributing? What's your name on the board and things like that? And I told my colleagues then that, see, if you really want to be counted and you have a voice, then put your, you know, put your money there and do something so that at the end of the day, you're putting your money where your mouth is. And by the time you say something, they say, ah, no, he's contributing. He has a name there and he's doing something. And I hope that, and thereafter, things started changing, alhamdulillah. So it's something that probably we need to, you know, look at critically.
Let me quickly say that we cannot build the future for our youth, but we can build our youth for the future. A lot of these masjid or personal houses that people build, they say, it's because of my sons. You know, Lashefu, we did it because of you. It is not so. Because a lot of youth, they were praying in those mosques, and at the time they become adult, they won't live in that community again.
Yes.
So the mosque is not for them. So you're not building it for them. We are not building it for those particular youth. The same way, if I build a house and I say it's because of my son, who tells me that my son will come there and live? A lot of these houses are abandoned.
People
go about, you know, living in different places. You have four children. One is in UK, one is in America, one is Abuja. None of them is even in Lagos. At the end of the day, the house will rotten. Now, we have to be very intentional about this.
Deliberate
about this. The mosque you have built is for the youths. Okay, fine. You have to involve them so that they can take it up while you are still alive.
Still there.
If you have a house, discuss with your children. Do you want to live in this house? If you are not living in this house for the future, let's do it in a way that we can rent it out for people and get some economic whatever.
Benefits
if you want to go back there and live, there's nothing wrong going back to your father's house to live, because you are only trying to help him maintain his heritage. If you are not there,
It will rot.
So it is better we start to involve them. It is good for the elders, and they will rest in peace in their graves.
Absolutely, because I remember. See, this thing that you said was the exact thing. One of the scholars that eventually allowed, who paved the way for our involvement in that particular mosque I was talking about, when the elders had their infighting, he said, "You people have tried. You have been in charge of this place for close to 30-40 years. Involve these people now. It's even better that you involve them now. Let them make mistakes while you are here so that you can correct them."
Absolutely.
And as I speak to you, about 3 or 4 of those elders are no more. Now I'm trying to imagine if they've not involved the youth at any point all this while, the gap will be there and there will be no smooth transition, because at the end of the day, the youth will be disconnected from what they are doing, and if they are not there anymore, they don't even know where to start from, because they don't even know how they've been running it all this while. So, that's very, very important. Now, all right. So, looking at that now, it's important that today we know quite well that we live in a world where we have lots of distractions, especially because of the digital media. So, how can today's youth reconnect, with purpose and serve their communities with impact and integrity? As much as we know quite well, you know, technology is out there. It's supposed to actually facilitate some of these, processes of development, but it's actually proven to be a distraction. So how can the youth of today really make such impact within their society, within their spheres of influence, without being distracted by technology or by the distractions that we have around them?
Yes, there is a lot of distraction. There will always be distraction for every age and every time. I remember I was in a session when I was a PA to a permanent secretary with during the time of our amiable governor, Mr. Raji
Fashola,
he called for a session and with the permanent secretaries and said, what is wrong with our schools? Why are students distracted from the school? Then he said, we have to look at the opposite, attraction.
Mm.
Now, how do we bring the attraction back to the school? So some people stood up to say that it is because the schools don't have fences. He said, no. He said, I disagree with you because they went to schools. He said, we went to schools where there were no fences at all, or flowers were made as fences, or they were just low fences. And he said, there is an attraction. See, at every point in time, there will always be distractions.
Uh-huh.
Though I agree, and I pity the youths of today, that the distraction that is coming from social media is something that we have never, ever imagined. So I pity them. So the distraction is there. Now, with this distraction, how can you reconnect with the purpose for which God has created you? Because we are created to worship God and serve humanity. In serving humanity, how do you reconnect? It is important that youth must have clear goals at every point in time. Your goals will keep changing. See, when you are in secondary school, you set a goal for yourself. When you achieve those goals, you get to the university, you set another set of goals for yourself. When a youth, like we used to call them, NFA, no future ambition. When they don't have goals, they follow their peers.
Yes.
Whatever your peers is doing is what you also try to start to do. Now, when you set your goals, look at your goals and look for mentors that can help you in actualization of that goal. It is not every elder that can be a mentor to you. You can have 2-3 mentors for different purposes. If you want to make money, I may not be the best mentor for you. If you want to achieve career growth, yes, I may be useful for you, because I'm not a finance person who can actually connect the dot and see business where there is nothing. So you need a mentor if you have a goal that aligns with that. We also have to start to develop that strong sense of value and character. There is no way that we are going to reconnect with ourselves, with our community, without integrity. Because people will profile you whether you like it or not. Irini si,
the son in law.
When they see you, they will look at you and say, this boy.
Your appearance determines, determines the perception people have about you.
Now, if you now have that value, they see you and they can see value. Like the Prophet said, choose friends that when you see them, they remind you of Allah. When they speak, they increase you in knowledge. And when they act, they remind you of the day of judgment, when you are going to account for everything that you do. So youths must be able to align with these three, features in a person. And finally is, they have to, like I said, engage with the community. You cannot say you are youth, you are just sit down like we have now, even in families. The father is with a phone, the mother is with a phone, the children with their phones. And the family time is not there. In the same vein, we are in the community and everybody is doing things differently. The youths are distracted with their social media. They are recording videos on the street and they are not connecting with anybody. The elders don't know about it. Just see somebody come to the street and put video there and say, what is he doing? We don't know. The youth can come together and say, see, we want to show a film like Iyami or Miami film to teach their younger ones about this. I'm sure the community, the elders will support them and say, this is what you can do. So think of things that can benefit the community and try to see you make impact. The impact you're able to make when you are at your youthful age, you are going to achieve more in adulthood.
Right. Now, often we hear of, youth empowerment, especially by different parts of the society, the political class, the economic class, the religious angles and things like that. A lot of people talk about, empowering the youth. Now, so beyond the mere talk shop or, talks about youth empowerment, so how exactly do we entrust young people with responsibilities, both within our religious organizations and in aspects of national life, where truly we entrust them responsibilities, we give them the guidance, we allow them showcase, their potentials, give them proper guidance, correct their mistakes, and also give opportunity for mentorship.
I will start with this example. Just this last Ramadan, I was at Itikaf, the last part of
the seclusion of the last 10 days of Ramadan.
The last 10 days of Ramadan, I was in the mosque for maybe the last 4 days, and no children that I witnessed their birth ceremony. So they came to me and said, "Sir, we have something we want to present to you." I said, "Okay, what is it?" So they opened the computer. These were secondary school guys. I mean, maybe GSS 2, GSS 3. They opened their computer and said, "We have been doing this itikaf for say many years, over 10, 15 years, and they are trying to build a website for the itikaf."
Wow.
I was marveled. I was very impressed. And I told the organizer, I said, "See, give these young people the opportunity to present this website to everybody at the itikaf and let people make their contributions
to it.
Next itikaf, we can all register via
this website.
And that's quite interesting. So there are a lot of ways we can empower our youths. We can do it as individuals. Look at your community. Look at what you can do. Look at somebody you can assist and empower them. Look at what they are doing and see how you can establish them further. Now, whatever you do, it's like you throw a ball to the wall. It is coming back to you. There's nothing you do that will go in vain. And every good act that you do, it is recorded for you. And if you do the otherwise, it is also recorded
against
for you. Now, I want to share a personal experience too, because I'm very passionate about the youth. I told somebody yesterday, I said, "You see, if you see me cry, I cry for the youth. Because when I see the way they are going and it is not pleasurable, I weep for them. And again, when I see some youth doing something very great, I also cry out of joy that yes, some are really doing this." The youth must find their feet in the community. We have to support them. When we were going to start the foundation, where I am the chairman, First Class Muslim Foundation, we had nothing. But our goal was, how do we make every Muslim youth a first-class person? If you are a Muslim youth, even if you are a cobbler, or you are a fashion designer, or you are in school, how can you become a first-class person? And I think this has been working. So setting up foundations like this is going to give the youth a lot of confidence. We went to the North recently, Kaduna, and we gave some students 70,000 every month. And one of them confessed that this is the first time I'm going to get an amount as much as 70,000 in my account since I opened it. Since I opened it. And that 70,000 is just for you to meet it. And these are first class students in BUK, in ABU, first class. So to empower these youths, we have to do it as individuals, we have to do it as a collective. So I want to encourage a lot of people, depending on what you want to do, if it is scholarship you want to go, if it is training that you want to give them, you want to empower them with skills, public speaking skills, or vocational skills, data management skills, internet coding skill, any kind of skill that you can give to them, depending on their interest, it will go a very long way to really help them and build them for the future.
All right, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7. We are going on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Oh Allah, you brought me home. I thank every breath I take. praises to Allah.
You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7, and we are discussing the role of youth in Islamic community development. And our guest is Dr. Sulaiman Ogumiwa. Dr. Ogumiwa is a director and head of the Education Quality Assurance Services Unit of the Lagos State Ministry of Basic and Secondary Education. He has more than 25 years of experience as a licensed counselor and is a fellow of the Institute of Islamic Finance Professionals and the chairman of the Board of Incorporated Trustees of First Class Muslim Foundation. This program is made possible, that you're listening to Everyday Muslim is made possible. It's a joint effort of the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, together with Women Radio 91.7 FM. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000 917 917 07000 917 917. Alternatively, you can call 091 55 917 917. That is 091 55 917 917. For our female callers, the actual free line, toll free line is 0800 235 917 0800 235 917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0815 5917 0815 5917. Like I announced earlier, this program is actually currently streaming on the YouTube page of WFM. So you can go there and can also send your comment via the live video feeds. All right, so we are waiting for your calls and your messages. Like I said, we are discussing the topic, the role of youth in community development, with a focus on the Islamic community. So it's an opportunity for you to also engage, because we know quite well that there are challenges facing the youth of today, whether Muslims, whether not Muslims, the challenges are almost the same. And it is important that we understand the fact that the future of the society rests a lot on the youth. So when we have empowered, conscious, focused, purposeful youth, then to a large extent we are hopeful that we would also have, you know, a brighter future for our society. So now let me ask this. The common statement that people usually make is that the future of the community rests entirely on the actions of today's youth. So if we accept that statement to be true, then I want to ask, are today's youth truly prepared to carry that responsibility of charting, you know, the future in both their local communities and national spheres? You know, we've talked about some of the challenges recently, but to a large extent, are they truly ready? Because some people will tell you, oh, these ones are not ready. And the youth will complain that they are not giving us a chance. Let us, you know. In fact, that was what led to the struggle for, you know, not too young to run, even some of these issues of enterprise and so many other challenges like that. The youth also want to belong. So can we truly say they are ready for, you know, this task, especially charting the future for the society?
To the large extent that I've interacted with the youths, I think they are ready. And you see, in history, every youth is ready. See, the period of youth age is the readiness age. Now, they don't act, they don't make use of it when we don't give them the opportunity to do it.
They just relax. After all, we have tried.
It's just like you are talking about old age for an old man. Old age is not meant for you to go and start doing strenuous work. Rather, old age is for you to give wisdom to people. So what you don't have, you cannot give. At the time when you are in your youthful age, you have everything that you need to change the world, except that you're not being given the opportunity. So I want to say that the youths are ready. The onus is on us to prepare them for the responsibility that is ahead of them. Look at this. When we were all in our mother's womb, we come to term, you come to this world. And when you come to this world, you have the enabling environment within motherhood to prepare you for
the challenges ahead.
The time to walk, the time to run, the time to go to school, and so on and so forth. So the youth are ready. We just need a comprehensive program to be able to prepare them. If truly we believe in them, we have to create opportunities for them to be able to be involved in the community. There is nothing wrong for the House of Assembly to say we get selected members of the community or different areas to be part of the assembly, to listen to the proceedings, to see what is being done. And we have to build institutions that is going to challenge the youths. I appreciate some program that we had in the past, the debaters, where people will come and debate. I have seen a lot where you have to present your idea and the panel will help you look at it. Beyond the TV series, we need to do a lot of this for our youth. When you know that I can carry my project to this foundation, to that foundation, if I don't get the funding here, I can get... Even beyond the funding, they help you to shape those ideas. Because the world will survive or will be ruled on ideas. And we have to create such an enabling environment for our youths.
I'm looking at this that... in entrusting them, and for me, as much as I want to believe that they are ready, I also look at some of them, those that have actually undertaken different responsibilities, even at the level of youth. I remember as an undergraduate belonging to student unions, and you see some of the, even the atrocities, the lack of accountability, even on the part of student union leaders. And I'm like, and these are the sort of people that would say that they want to contest for probably a councillorship, and at least we have graduated from school now. That the people that I can see, the way they mismanage funds, when they are still under the authority of probably the institutions at the college or polytechnic or universities, where probably their certificates can be, you know, seized until probably they refunded some things. Every time the account is audited, we'll always see that they will be blacklisted, and they would say that the social amount of money they must refund to the coffers of, you know, so, you know, like, see, these people, they are not trustworthy. And these are the ones championing that they should be given the chance. So in a situation where you now have those who feel like we also have ideas, they are not being given the opportunity, probably because we don't have money to spend, or we are not ready to go to, you know, staff clubs or some of these you know, clubs, hotels or parties or some of these other joints where you feel like that is where you get endorsed, that's where you have one godfather that will sponsor you. How then? Because I know a lot of people are kind of like afraid that I don't have what it takes to compete with these other people that I know that they don't have what it takes compared to what I have. So how do you prep or convince or encourage those who probably have the initiatives but are afraid that we don't have the resources to compete with those who we know that, yes, they are popular, so to say, they have godfathers, they have everything at their disposal, but they lack the character of, you know, what is expected of the youth in, you know, really reforming the society.
Okay, so truly, see, everybody is human. Because you are a youth, doesn't mean you are an angel. You can be corrupt as a youth, you can also be corrupt as an adult. And in fact, there is no one that went through that youthful time that did not do a sort of bad things. It's just natural for human beings. So when you don't give them the opportunity to even demonstrate, let them go there, let them do it, let them be corrupt. Now they will learn that corruption does not pay. So when they go into higher national, you know, offices or responsibilities, they have learned it before. But because you didn't give them the opportunity to learn
at that lower,
at
level.
That lower level, they will still go up there and misbehave. For example, if you steal something at home, maybe you took meat or you took your parents' money and they discipline you. Oh, growing up, I mean, much later you realize that, oh, it's no good. I did this and I was punished for this. But in the case where you steal and you are hailed, people are hailing you for stealing. This is where the problem is. This is where we are unable to identify what is good and what is right. There's a confusion, even now, for somebody to now understand, oh, so what is actually good and what is actually wrong. And this is the worst thing that can happen to us as human beings. Because the Quran told us that fal amra fujuraha wa taqwa wa di aflaha man zakka wa di khaba man dassaha. Allah said he swears, he said wa nafsin wa masawa, he swears by the soul that he has given each person the ability to know,
to discern,
to distinguish between what is good and what is right. But now what we have is people will do things and they will now say that they claim that, oh, I didn't even know it is wrong to have done that. How do you account for people who steal millions of naira even at their, towards their age 60, age 70, age 80? What do you want to do with the
such amount of money?
It is because they are clumsy in terms of understanding what is good and what is right. So a youth coming into leadership position, they will make mistakes. We allow them to make mistakes. The elders are there to correct them. They will grow up to realize that, so this is not good, this is what is good. They will grow up to become mentors of those who are going to change things. If we leave the field for them, if we don't get involved in the management of our affairs, all because, oh, we don't want to get involved, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do that, at the end of the day, the same set of people will be there and their godfathers will be the likes of them. But when you have the good ones who are this character integrity going into these areas, they will be able to, you know, bring some impact and also become the light that will show people the way. During the time of the prophet, it is not that they were not bad people, people who are also evil, but because the good ones are more than the bad ones. So it is difficult for the bad ones to come out and mentor people. Today, we have too many bad influences, you know, being at the forefront of what we do. So I really want to encourage that we establish a lot of youth programs that will focus on developing the skills and character and also ensure community engagement for our youths.
All right. So we have this message. The person says, although I don't have the name, says, Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thanks very much for the opportunity and the weekly episode of Everyday Muslim. I will appreciate if the guests will help explore the role volunteerism can play to help the youth mold their character, attitude, resilience, and commitment to service. I believe that the youth can gain a lot in some of the crucial areas that the guest has spoken on through volunteering with credible organizations that can help them shape their worldview, establish contacts for them, and prepare them for the life challenges they face now and others to come. Thanks to WFM, thanks to MPAC, and thanks to our guest. We are enjoying Everyday Muslim on WFM. All right, we have a call.
I cannot but agree completely with the message, and I want to say that the easiest thing that every youth can do now is volunteerism. There's no limit to it. You can volunteer as many times as possible, and it is one of the best ways of learning. You learn service, you learn commitment, you learn sacrifice, you learn a lot of things when you volunteer, and it gives you that spirit of patriotism, that spirit of service, and it takes away that gratification attitude that for everything I do I must get money, for everything I do I must get money, nothing is going to be free. But when you start to say, let me volunteer free of charge, I do things, and the only thing you get is commendation that you have really tried, and you also have that written down as part of the thing that you have done. See, the more you volunteer, the more riches you get when you start to get when you start working.
All right. Okay. So we have another message, this time from Bola. She's a regular contributor on our program. She says, Assalamu alaikum, MPAC, WFM. Thank you for this discussion. It is very apt. The problems of these youths are so complex, and it has been as a result of long abandonment of international involvement of these youths in taking up responsibilities. If you are not related to people up there, you are not given a chance to act. In our mosque, the old people do not want to go to the back seat to become advisors. Please advise our policymakers to involve the youths that are ready to give to the society, and they should also be credible leaders. Thank you.
Thank you. We need to understand different roles, and I always give this scenario. I am a father now. Sooner than later, my son is going to become a husband. He will become a father. He can't be a father and I be a father.
You be a grandfather.
I have to be a grandfather. If I have a long life and his own son also becomes a father. He becomes a grandfather.
And you become a
great-grandfather. Rules must change. This is what every one of us must understand, especially our elders. You have to change rules. You can't continue to play the same role you have been playing in this country for 40, 50 years. It means you are going to eat the future of your children with your own. Because if I don't move for my son to become a father, then I'll be denying him
the opportunity of fatherhood.
The opportunity of fatherhood, of being proud father. I want to be the one to train his children. I want you to come and live with me so I can help him. You can't train those children. You can only train your own child. You can't train your
grandchild.
Your grandchild. You can't. Because there's a generational shift. The way we look at things has changed.
Yes.
In fact, those who are trained by grandfathers and grandmothers don't come out best.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't come out best.
I think we have a caller on the line. Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh. Please, what's your name and where you're calling from?
Good morning. My name is Mahmoud. Okay. My greetings to Dr. Sulaiman, our father,
yes,
and to you, our presenter.
Thank you very
and to
much.
Answer too, and to all the listeners. Yeah, I need to come in now to, you know, I really appreciate our guest who is giving voice to we, the youth. Because, sincerely speaking, I believe we are not really giving our space in the scheme of events. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Continue.
Yes, I want us to look at this scenario from, you know, a closer perspective. You know, I will start to make my point from saying that, the roles of the youth are so enormous that it can't be overemphasized, no doubt. But taking it off from the mosque management now, yes, we are doing good, but we can do a lot more better.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the mosque management, we tend to see that the role of the mosque is not, you know, is being underplayed, whereby we don't tend to see the communal existence of the Muslims playing out the way it should be.
Okay.
When we look back into the lives of the Prophet. So why I'm saying this is that once the mosque, you know, is being managed well, to see that it really fulfills its role, then the youth too tend to play their role effectively from there.
Okay.
As, you know, as a closer community.
Right.
And to the other view. Are you there, sir?
Yes, we need to be very fast about it. Yes, you need to be very fast about it.
I'm coming to a point. I have an experience. I'm in an association whereby the youth voice does not really count. So, and I'm really glad at the point you made earlier that you said there are some vacuums created in a mosque, maybe in your mosque or something, that is, you know, we need to speak. And something similar now is happening around when the leaders don't give the youth opportunity to really play their role.
All right.
There are some vacuums that have to be filled now, but because the youth are disconnected, there's no, you know, no people to fill those vacuums. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much, Mr. Mahmoud. All right. I would like you to probably quickly react to what, you know, he has said.
Yeah, it was a bit long, but right. I just want to say that maybe from this program, the elders will start to see that we need to create space for our youth so that they can also align and start to bring about changes in our community.
All right. Probably on a final note, because we need to round off, you know. I'm looking at this. So what advice do you have to offer to a young person, a Muslim, who is passionate about making a difference but feels uncertain about where exactly to begin in contributing, you know, in his community and society at large? So now that you have told us that we need to be responsible at least and we need to you know, do things right so that people can actually repose their trust in us, so now that we have listened, so how do we begin and where do we begin from?
Every youth must start by identifying their passion and strength.
Okay.
Now, you identify your passion and you build on your strengths. Seek mentors on the path that you have chosen and take small steps towards your goal. Don't take a giant step. No, take small steps, because Rome was not built in a day. Uh-huh. It has to be one step to another. You have to surround yourself with like-minded individuals who are going to also help you to build on your goals, but not draw you back. And you have to build meaningful relationship with people. Don't choose friends only from among the Muslims. Choose friends from different areas, different careers, so that you have a widening horizon about what you do. I'm going to tell you the story of Imam Bukhari, because after the Quran, all the scholars agreed that the most authentic book in Islam is Sahih Bukhari. It will surprise you to know that Sahih Bukhari started this compilation when he was just 16 years old.
Subhanallah.
It means that he was just in GSS 3 or SS 1 when he started the compilation of Sahih Bukhari. And he did the compilation for 16 years.
Wow.
It was published at age 32. Now, what I'm trying to say is that take your time, identify your passion, identify your strengths, set your goals, look for mentors, take one step at a time. I assure you that at the end of the day, you are going to make a mark about something.
How about the fact that, because I love the fact that I said you should find like-minded people to surround yourselves with so that you can like work together. But then it seems to appear that a lot of these like-minded people that would probably tend to bring together are the ones who usually have this, leadership tussle and some of these issues and factions and conflicts that later emerge among the youths, that, a whole lot of things. Even in some organizations, different factions and things like. So how then do we manage some of these differences among, so to say, people that would say they are like-minded people that want to work together?
We have to increase our awareness of emotional intelligence. See, everybody, we have different nature. We are not, born, given birth to by the same person. So we are different. So we need to improve our level of emotional intelligence. How do I relate with people successfully? How do I manage my emotions and also manage other people's emotion? I manage my emotion, I control it. I also look at other people and see how can I relate with them in the best manner. You see, what I always tell people is always be positive in everything that you are doing. And that is the least level of brotherhood that the Prophet has encouraged. Salamatul Sadr. Just know that nothing evil will come from the person towards you. And you give people excuse. Be positive. When you are positive, you are going to make a lot of relationships.
All right, Jazakumullah khairan. I'd like to appreciate Dr. Sulaiman Ogumewa for the insight that he has shared on today's program, and to our contributors, our callers, and those who sent in messages. We'd like to appreciate your contributions. We'll appreciate you. And to all our listeners out there, we can't do this without you, and we're happy that you are always there when we come around to actually bring some of these programs to you. So we'd like to appreciate you. I will appreciate the management of WFM. We also like to appreciate the management of MPAC, who have actually, together brought this opportunity for us to really interact around this. So you can listen again to this episode of and all the previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org, mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim, Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01. Everyday Muslim 01. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airways next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7 FM. I'm Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.